You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. In-depth analysis of your 2022 NFL draft up there right now, including the fallout with the best free agent players available. Here, we've broken down round one in depth. There, we've broken down rounds two and rounds three. It's time to get into day three of the 2022 NFL Draft. All the offensive skill picks here from rounds four through seven will be highlighted and mentioned on this particular show. So we need to put a bow on that part of the draft. We will put all these guys in a blender and spit out our top 25 fantasy football rookie rankings for you. So a little bit of a teaser from all this we've broken down may have an indication of what guys are going to make the cut for the top 25, but here we got to get through all the picks because everybody that can catch the ball or run it or throw it has to be on our fantasy football radar in some sense. There's just been too many guys that have come out of nowhere and produced and been relevant for us, whether it's redraft or dynasty. So we'll do that for you, breaking down all these guys. Again, rounds four, five, six, and seven, we'll take them all. Here, anybody in those offensive skill roles? I do have to tell you, this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football, our title sponsor is Blue Nile. This Mother's Day, get mom something she'll treasure forever. Find jewelry from BlueNile.com. Locked On Fantasy Football listeners get $50 off $500. Again, use the promo code Locked On at checkout and make sure you're taking care of mom this Mother's Day with some special jewelry only from Blue Nile. All right, let's dive right into the picks here and start in round four with the picks and a lot of offensive skill that went off the board here. So we will break that down all in our first segment. So in our first segment, all about fourth round picks for you in real football. But in fantasy, we got to see if we want to put them on our radar to draft. Let's start with the Buccaneers. They took Cade Otton, the tight end, out of Washington. A better indication that Rob Gronkowski may not be back. But keep in mind, they lost O.J. Howard as well. They also took a tight end later in the draft of note. We'll mention that. But O.J. Howard was lost, so Cade Otton could be, hey, we need to replenish the depth of that O.J. Howard, or we want a guy that has some receiving skills here that can grow into a blocker that we want to replace Gronk with occasionally and just use him as that receiver role playing off those wideouts. So there's a lot of things to look at with Cade Otton. I think he was right there with the pick that went to the Cardinals there, Trey McBride, in being a complete tight end this draft. I think he could work on his blocking a little bit. So we'll see. I wouldn't just say Tom Brady is going to pivot to a rookie tight end without his buddy in there. So something to look at on this team for sure when we break it down for you that, look, Cameron Brate is the top of the depth chart right now. Otton and their later pick, we'll talk about him, Co-Keeft. He's a bit of a developmental tight end. He's going to be their third option. So maybe taking two tight ends is a better indication that there's no Gronk coming back with Howard. But odd and intriguing pick. I just don't think Brady's going to lean on a rookie tight end here, especially when he's got Brate, a Harvard guy that he trusts pretty much in the passing game, to pivot from Gronkowski. All right, let's go to the next pick of offensive skill note. Texans took Damian Pierce here, the running back for their needs. And looking at him from Florida, he's got a pretty good skill set. They're right now, their depth chart is Marlon Mack and one Rex Burkhead. So Marlon Mack from the division, from the Colts, remember him. Right now, he's leading the depth chart. You have Burkhead. You moved on from other guys here in this backfield. Last year, you had messed with Philip Lindsay. He moved on to the Dolphins. He also had David Johnson. None of that really panned out beyond early in the season and really not a lot of production there. So Burkhead, just a guy. He's typically swing backup. Marlon Mack has been pretty much a power back that can't stay healthy, that was working ahead of Jonathan Taylor before Taylor had the breakout, big breakout, to be the fantasy top back in Indianapolis. So Damian Pierce, someone worth watching, just being in that mix here for Houston in the backfield. Very unpredictable there. In Houston right now, I would say it's going to be a lead committee of Mack and Burkhead. Ew. And then you look at Pierce maybe coming in. So he's got some definitely juice overall that he can play in three downs, do a little bit of everything well. So Damian Pierce definitely on our radar. He's a running back. Any running back with a pulse in a decent situation is going to be on the fantasy football purview, and certainly Damian Pierce is that. Let's go to the Giants. They got kind of gutted at tight end here. Evan Engram moved on in free agency to the Jaguars. They weren't interested in keeping him. They also released Kyle Rudolph early in the process. They did pick up Ricky Seals-Jones as a veteran contingency, especially in the passing game, but they used a draft pick here on Daniel Bellinger, developmental tight end. I don't think he was the next guy there that you look at after Otten, and we mentioned having McBride going to the Cardinals. I just didn't think Daniel Bellinger was that type of player. So developmental tight end, nothing to see there yet there. But with the Raiders' next pick, this is a pick I'm highlighting for many reasons. It's Zamir White, the running back from Georgia. We saw his teammate, the latest Georgia duo, go in the draft. He went to the Bills there to be the kind of the receiving change of pace there behind Devin Singletary. Here you have Zamir White. They did move on from Jalen Richard in this offseason. Kenyon Drake has 1 year left on his contract. An interesting, maybe underrated move that happened before the draft was not picking up the option on Josh Jacobs. And this is part of Josh McDaniels taking over the offense. He's going to look for his type of back to plug and play there. So Zamir White, fourth round pick, kind of fits the profile of what you want to see. We know he got a lot out of James White, different type of player. I think Zamir can be more of a complete back with some explosiveness, do a little bit more things here in backfield. They also added Brandon Bolden, but they got a similar named guy later in the draft to maybe try to fill that kind of special teams, jack of all trades role at the back of the bench here. But they're not committed to Drake, they're not committed to Jacobs. Zamir White is very cheap here. He's a fourth-round pick, so don't sleep on White having a big role. And again, not exactly like James here. I think he can do a little bit more. And again, when you have a new coaching staff, they want to trust different running backs, and I think that's the case here with Zamir White and Las Vegas. This was an interesting pick, also staying in the AFC West. The Chargers took Isaiah Spiller. I thought he was going to go maybe in the second round, but you saw Breece Hall go to the Jets, Kenneth Walker go to the Seahawks. And there was a bit of wait for Isaiah Spiller. Some people were wondering if he was slowing down a little bit as a power back. Could they trust him beyond that? Well, the Chargers needed a better power back here because they have Austin Eckler, the dynamo, fantasy dominant force as an RB1 with his pass catching and scoring. Very efficient runner, one of the league's most efficient runners, only still 26 years old. So plenty of time left in the tank. But they also know that Eckler can get worn down. They gave him maybe too many touches, pushing towards 300 touches, so you would expect they'll scale back a little bit. They did have Joshua Kelly and Larry Roundtree in the mix there last year. Kelly, a draft pick from a few years ago, Roundtree going into year two. But Spiller profiles better than both of them as a power back that can complement one Eckler a little bit better. Remember, Kalen Ballage had that one cup of coffee with the Chargers and had some relevance with Eckler hurting just a couple years ago before he went to the Steelers. Spiller can be a way better version of them than Ballage. So we're looking at Isaiah Spiller having a nice role here for the Chargers and a very strong handcuff should something happen to Eckler and he missed time. And we know with the soft tissue injuries, he has some of those and sometimes needs to be spelled. And we also know Justin Jackson was a very effective backup. They moved on from him. So Spiller's the best bet to be the number two complimentary back here to Jackson, puts him in handcuff territory, much like Zamir White behind Jacobs and Drake with some upside here. Now, don't sleep on kickers. Kickers are people too. Kickers are also people that produce fantasy points still in some leagues. If you had Evan McPherson of the Bengals, you'll be considering this player. Cade York went to the Browns, had the same mentor as McPherson. So the Browns were tired of their kicking situation. They upgrade from Chase McLaughlin here. McLaughlin just seems to be just bouncing around from team to team here, kind of filling in spots until they find a better kicker. Well, Cade York invested a fourth-round pick. He's going to get every chance to win the job here. They have no interest in cutting him when he invests that high of a pick. So Cade York could be busy. We know Kamai Fairbairn, just to have a comparison, when Deshaun Watson was in Houston, was very fantasy football relevant with his leg. So Cade York, if you're looking for a kicker and you're not afraid for the guy with high accuracy, much like McPherson last year, you're going to look in same division, same state, to Cade York, the rookie there from UCLA. Let's go to the Dolphins. Not much to see here with the Dolphins draft in general. I thought they might be in the mix for running back. Instead, they take Eric Izukanma, a wide receiver. I don't see how he fits in this mix too much here behind Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and Preston Williams without Devontae Parker. So just a developmental guy for sure. Izukanma not going to be a key target whatsoever here for Tua Tagovailoa in the short term. The Patriots took two players in this round on the offensive side. They also took two running backs overall, which surprised people. Pierre Strong, I really liked his skill set here going to the draft. I thought he might go a little bit earlier, or even ahead of Zamir White and Damian Pierce. But you look at Pierre Strong, I think, again, you worry about a new coaching perspective without Josh McDaniels. You still have Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, you got James White. So what are the Patriots doing here? We're not sure. And adding just to get another back to confuse us here in fantasy football. So Pierre Strong, they like him a lot. He has a good skill set, can do a little bit of everything well. That may not bode well exactly for Harrison Stevenson dominating the touches there. As they've been interchangeable. Stevenson maybe has a little receiving juice. Now you get another player that fits more in Damian Harris's mold. So it could be a bit of a mess here if Strong can carve out a key role as a fourth-round pick. Now the Cowboys took a tight end, another tight end off the board here, and Jake Ferguson from Wisconsin. He's more of an inline player, blocker. They got Dalton Schultz. They like him a lot, but this indication they want to use more 12 personnel, take pressure off Dak Prescott with different formations. So that's what Ferguson is, but Dalton Schultz is the man there, tight end in Dallas. Let's go to Tennessee. This is an interesting pick, Hassan Haskins. Right now they were operating with Dontrell Hilliard as their best back behind Derrick Henry. Donta Foreman moved on there in free agency. They needed number two, Hassan Haskins, a big-bodied back from Michigan, pretty much a power back. So plug and play if something happens to Derrick Henry again, coming off the foot-injured, hampered kind of end to the season last year. So you got Hassan Haskins, power back from Michigan. Makes a lot of sense. Get a true handcuff. We know it didn't work for Darrington Evans. He just couldn't stay healthy as a kind of a complimentary back. Then Foreman moved on, cashed in on his strong backup work last year. Hilliard was okay for a short stretch here, but looking at Hassan Haskins pretty much being a straight-up power back, backup to Derrick Henry, and a very good pickup in that sense for Tennessee. The Packers got a guy that can do a little bit of everything inside, outside, Romeo Dobbs, or however you say his name. The Romeo is not going to be paired with Christian Watson too much here because they have Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Aaron Rodgers' favorite still in the mix. You got Robert Tonyan at tight end. So developmental receiver for sure. This draft very much like when the Packers took Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, and Jamon Moore in the same draft just a few years ago. So Romeo Dobbs trying to reset that wide receiver room here. But right now you'd say it's Lazard, Watson, and Cobb still ahead in the pecking order there with the tight end involved as well. So Dobbs a little bit developmental. I don't see much value in him in the short term. Yeah, the Patriots taking a quarterback, Bailey Zappe from Western Kentucky. He's a guy that jumped up and set a lot of records there with his high-volume passing. It was an air raid type offense that they ran there for the Hilltoppers. So he goes to the Patriots here. And just to make this clear, he's not going to compete with Mac Jones for the starting job. Mac Jones, the first-round pick. They were happy with his rookie season. But this guy profiles exactly like a long-term Brian Hoyer. I think they've been tired with Jarrett Stidham not really developing all that much and just being just a guy, and Hoyer being a little bit more valuable as a number two. Hoyer, however, getting older, not going to be around forever. They need someone in this system that understands and can control high volume. And Bailey Zappe, there was a good comparison to Chase Daniel coming out of that spread in Missouri. And he's been around for a long time, kicking around as a backup. I also think a good comparison is Case Keenum to be maybe a journeyman starter at some point, bounce around. So watch out for Zappe, but not a threat to Mac Jones. Steelers added Calvin Austin, the third. He has a lot of speed out of Memphis, just speed to burn. I think he's going to help them in the return game and also help them when they stretch the field with four wide receivers. But we know they also got a receiver for Kenny Pickett there and George Pickens in this draft earlier. So you got George Pickens playing off Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, and Pat Freiermuth at tight end, Najee Harris out of the backfield. So Austin will be a key cog, but you're going to see maybe 5 to 7 opportunities per game for him, most likely, including the punt return. So they're trying to get more speed, special packages there, but again, not going to see any regular volume here in this particular Steelers offense. You have another pick at tight end here right after, staying in the AFC North. The Ravens went with Isaiah Likely, so trying to create some depth behind Mark Andrews. They need to replenish that, so probably not great for Nick Boyle. Also, the Ravens took another tight end later that had some upside, so we'll talk about him, but likely developmental, is going to take time, but Andrews is the man here as a tight end one for Baltimore. Still not a threat to him. And then finally, the Titans, Chig Okonkwo was the pick there to close fourth round in terms of offensive skills. So they did add Austin Hooper, but they lost Anthony Firkser. Jeff Swaim is still hanging around here. So it's Hooper and Okonkwo. Okonkwo are their best tight ends. Okonkwo, a little bit of Jonnu Smith in him, so maybe develop in that way, while Austin Hooper maybe just is the fill-in now. So look out for that in this offense. Okonkwo very built similar to Jonnu Smith, and try to recreate that, a bit of a wide receiver tight end hybrid there that can help him in the passing game. All right, that is all of the fourth-round picks that went in the draft here from a fantasy football skill position perspective for you, and we'll break down again the rest of the players. We'll go in a little bit more rapid fashion in our final two segments, but wanted to take our time with our fourth round picks there. Now, it is again almost Mother's Day. It's this weekend, and you got to get on something special. And BlueNile.com is the place where you're going to find it. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from only BlueNile.com. And Locked On Fantasy Football listeners get $50 off a $500 purchase. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day. That's this Sunday. So you got to get on it now and get something special or add to the gifts that you already have. Make it super special for mom this Mother's Day. Use the promo code Locked On. That's the promo code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. It's important this week. You don't want to spoil the surprise for mom or someone special in your life that is looking for a gift. Maybe it's birthday time for someone else. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace only at Blue Nile. Go to BlueNile.com today. Check it out. Blue Nile is going to take care of you. And good stuff there. Expert advice. Great return policy there. So check them out. BlueNile.com. Going to take care of you. And again, use that promo code LOCKEDON to get $50 off $500. All right, it is time to continue the show here, breaking down for you the next wave of picks on day three, fantasy football-related offensive skill players in the 2022 NFL Draft. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We're free and available to you on all platforms. All right, let us continue the show. And we had a quarterback there to start the fifth round action, and it was one Sam Howell of North Carolina. So he really slipped. He ends up being a developmental backup to Carson Wentz, the new Commander starting quarterback. So Howell, a little bit of Taylor Heineke, has a little bit of arm strength, a little bit of athleticism, a little bit better version of Heineke is what I would say. A little bit better version of Kyle Allen as well, who's moved on from Washington. So, and developmental, intriguing pick. Maybe a little bit of local flavor here. Remember, they went back to Heath Shuler back in the day. This was the team that took him. He ended up being a center from North Carolina, but they took him out of Tennessee. So a little bit of throwback to that. Maybe some Carolina connection there for Ron Rivera, his previous team out of North Carolina. So Sam Howell really dropped off without a supporting cast with the Tar Heels. So we'll have to see. Developmental, that's all she wrote. She's not going to be, or he's not going to be. She's all she wrote. He's all they wrote. He's the guy that is not going to be in the mix at all with Carson Wentz to start here in Washington for sure. So very deep, bad landing spot for sure for Sam Howell. I had this pick actually right. The next pick, Bills taking the wide receiver Khalil Shakir. Why I thought it was a good pick, they moved Gabriel Davis up the chart here because you got Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis. Now Jamison Crowder replaces Cole Beasley in the slot. You need to replace Davis because essentially Davis has moved up to replace Emmanuel Sanders. Shakir very much profiles like Emmanuel Sanders. Did a little bit of deep threat, a little bit of everything to his game. So like this is a depth play, but nothing we're going to see here again, like, given those top three wide receivers and targets for Josh Allen. The next pick does have intrigue. The Falcons took Tyler Allgeier, the power back from BYU. Mike Davis had one really fizzled, disappointing year. They had to turn to the hybrid sensibilities with Cordarrelle Patterson. Patterson's back, but he's older now. He's not a traditional running back, we know. Arthur Smith in Tennessee liked a big power back. I'm not saying Tyler Allgeier's going to be Derrick Henry, but that type of back, that body type, power it through a little bit. And we got to pay attention because he's automatically the number two running back behind a hybrid wide receiver who's number one on the depth chart. He moves ahead of Kadri Allison, so not a lot of stuff to see there in the Falcons' backfield. It's definitely wide open here. So Allgeier, we're going to put him on the radar for sure in fantasy. Again, anyone very close is a number two taking this late in the backfield, we're going to get our interest peaked for sure. The Jaguars went with a running back as well. We'll see what happens to James Robinson coming back off the tough injury to end last season. You also have Travis Etienne, wiped out before his rookie season began as a first-round pick out of Clemson, and his teammate Trevor Lawrence. So right now you're looking at Robinson, Etienne, and we know that we like committee approaches here if you're Doug Peterson. So Snoop Connor could get on the field a little bit, can do a little bit of everything there, swing back up. You figure Etienne is still going to be the guy that they look at more in passing down situations. Robinson, the early down situations. So it could be a pretty ugly committee here, but Snoop Connor trying to replenish the depth a little bit behind these two guys, especially when you have Etienne and Robinson coming off major injuries here in 2021. So watch for him, but nothing to see there. Neither is our next running back pick, Browns and Jerome Ford. Keep in mind, they still have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and D'Ernest Johnson. Jerome Ford is basically the fourth back at this point. He's maybe a Dontrell Hilliard type. He was there in Cleveland before he went to Tennessee. So, yeah, not a great spot for Jerome Ford. A lot of things have to fall into place to see him have a role here. Montrell Washington was the next pick. He's a wide receiver, went to the Broncos. We know they're pretty loaded at wide receiver in the front line between the main guys. They did move on from Deshaun Hamilton, and KJ Hamler's pretty much faded, not been a role there at all for the Broncos. So Montrell Washington gives him another body there for depth behind the three starters, in some order, Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton, and Jerry Jeudy in Denver, playing for Russell Wilson now at quarterback. The Titans took a slot receiver type here, Kyle Phillips out of UCLA. So we know they got A.J. Brown gone in a deal to the Eagles, replaced him with Treylon Burks, the first-round rookie from Arkansas. Also added Robert Woods, but Burks is a rookie, so there's some volatility there. You have Woods coming off a torn ACL. Get someone inside to work it. And again, Adam Humphries was once there, working pretty well with Ryan Tannehill. So that type of player you get in the middle of the field to upgrade their slot to receiver situation in Tennessee. But not much to see there in a low-volume passing game that pretty much focuses on the outside receivers and the tight end. Next pick was interesting. The Rams back on the clock to Kyren Williams, the running back at Notre Dame. Can do a little bit of everything, help in the return game. A little bit of a contingency as well. Cam Akers' injury history. You got Daryl Henderson not being able to stay healthy. Sonny Michel has had his share there before he got to Los Angeles, getting a little bit older, the former Patriots back. So getting an extra body in there to compete goes with Jake Funk from last year. So Rams really kind of explore running backs pretty well here with Sean McVay, and that's what they did here with Kyren Williams, a bit of a stash there. The Vikings took a running back as well, Ty Chandler, going back to North Carolina, the same program that produced Sam Howell to the Commanders. He's a little bit of everything he can do as well, a little bit of change of pace for Dalvin Cook, but Alexander Mattison, they've been lukewarm on him a little bit. They used a draft pick last year in Okongwu there that it really he worked in the special teams area. He was a very strong special teams player for the Vikings as a rookie. So now you had someone in the mix there with Mattison. Mattison hasn't quite lived up to being that solid bona fide backup to Dalvin Cook the way they expected. So they're adding another option here in Ty Chandler at North Carolina. The Texans took a tight end here. They really like Brevin Jordan. Watch out for Brevin Jordan having a key role in this offense a little bit more from last year. But Tegan Quintoriano is the pick here. Very hard name to say. We won't have to think about it too much in fantasy football there. Again, Brevin Jordan's the guy I'm going to watch out of Miami, Florida. I like his skill set for sure and playing off that receiving core that's still pretty young outside of Brandon Cooks and kind of just the guy, Chris Conley. One more tight end pick was James Mitchell. Does sound a little bit like a relation to Pete Mitchell, a.k.a. Maverick from Top Gun. Top Gun soon to be in theaters here, but James Mitchell is more a complementary tight end to T.J. Hockenson, developmental here. So Hockenson, you got now Amon-Ra St. Brown, D.J. Chark, and now the rookie Jameson Williams. So Mitchell's really buried in that pecking order, especially when you include DeAndre Swift out of the backfield. So developmental tight end here that can play a little bit off Hockenson here to give the Lions a little bit of an opportunity to have 12 personnel in the mix for sure at some points here as they go forward in the offense with Dan Campbell. And now we flip the script here from round 5 into round 6. So we're into round 6 now, and the offensive skill picks. We'll cover a few of those here. Kevin Harris was the other Patriots pickup with Pierre Strong in the backfield. So yet another Harris to confuse us with Damian Harris there in this Patriots backfield. So yeah, I don't know what they were doing. I'm taking two running backs here, trying to replenish depth, maybe after losing Brandon Bolden there I'm trying to think ahead with James White, and maybe it could be in for him, but different style of offense, different style of backs here. But very frustrating if you were in on Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson to see this development for sure. It's the Patriots' backfield. Even without McDaniels, with Bill Belichick there, it's going to be very unpredictable. The Vikings took a bit of a field stretcher there. I thought they might invest in wide receiver a little bit later, or earlier, I should say. But they took Jalen Naylor out of Michigan State, and really, I like this player. I saw quite a bit of him there playing for the Spartans and made some nice plays, big plays, again, stretching the field. You do have a pretty established depth chart, at least for another year, with Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, K.J. Osborne there. And then you also have your tight ends and 12 personnel. So Naylor, developmental number four here that the Vikings are going to develop as a big play threat. The Colts already took one tight end in this draft, but they get another one here. They got Jelani Woods out of Virginia. They had Andrew Ogletree, another developmental guy, but again, moved on from Jack Doyle. He actually retired, so they needed a bit of replacement there. They've tried different guys there. Remember, Trey Burton was there for a short period of time. There, the Eagles, the guy through the Philly special. So they're trying to figure it out in this tight end room. But Mo'Ali Cox still the lead here for Indianapolis. The Ravens took an interesting pick here. Tyler Batty, the running back from Missouri. Again, contingency. Just like the Jaguars with James Robinson and Travis Etienne coming off major injuries, you have J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards coming off preseason injuries from 2021. So add an extra body. Batty's a change of pace back. Very good receiving back, but also pretty good and underrated as a compact power back when needed. So a little bit of depth there for that backfield. Probably signals the end of any chance with Justice Hill there. So they had to move on and try to remix this. But again, behind Dobbins and Edwards, we have to be careful. Monitor their health progress. Batty has a chance. And the last pick we'll talk about in this segment, we still have a few more sixth rounders to talk about, is Grant Calcaterra, athletic tight end prospect for the Eagles. He's placed behind Dallas Goedert, so a little bit of developmental guy there. See if the Eagles pivot a little bit more to 12 personnel, but they feel better now about their 11 personnel, that A.J. Brown is in there with Devonta Smith, so something to watch there. But Calcaterra, some upside as a receiver, but not much to see there behind Dallas Goedert. All right, still got our sixth remaining picks there from that round, and then we will get into the seventh round. Picks, excuse me, on Locked On Fantasy Football. You got to take better care of your health all season and all off-season long here. Now, Built Bar has helped me do that with the New Year's resolutions, and now they're transitioning into taking care of me for summer as a commit to better health. Summer's coming, and with summer, you're going to need more food on the go, and you want healthy food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. You can throw them into your bags that are handy in the car, in your kids' backpacks, whatever. Make sure they're handy and make sure everyone has a bar so you're fueled for your summer adventures. The best part about Built Bar is they're healthy and delicious for you, as I mentioned. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both, and it's easy. All you have to do is go to Built.com and order now. Got to try the Puffs. These are great marshmallow treats here that are the spinoffs of Built Bars. They come in delicious, crazy flavors such as banana cream pie and even cinnamony churro. Who doesn't want a protein bar that tastes like a churro? And they're only at 140 calories. Sign us up. We want to get them on the go for our snack here through the summer. If that's not enough flavor for you, then you might want to try the Mix Box. The Mix Box comes with 12 flavors of Built Bars and Built Puffs. Built Bar makes sure that there's something for everyone with every box. Favorite flavor is hard to describe here, but I love anything with peanut butter and chocolate, and I love their brownie flavors as well. Most of the traditional Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, only 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar as a bad alternative snack, 240 calories, 30 grams sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Go to Built.com to get all your favorites, including banana cream pie, raspberry, double chocolate, so many delicious flavors. They're all delicious, and they're coming out with new flavors all the time. Check them out at Built.com. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, it is time to close the show, and may the 4th be with you, as you can see here on Locked On Fantasy Football. And again, may the force be with all these players in fantasy football, and maybe we can find some sleepers here among the rookies. All right, we go and stay in the sixth round. The Cardinals needed to address running back here, moving on from James Conner. with Chase Edmonds there in the mix. So they also have Eno Benjamin. But Keontae Ingram was the pick here for the Cardinals. We'll see what they can get out of him. A little bit of a reach back here. I don't expect too much value unless something were to happen with James Conner. Again, moving on from Edmonds, they need a little bit of a depth there at that position. But Ingram on the radar only because the Cardinals are pretty thin post to re-signing Conner and not keeping Edmonds. All right, the Browns are the next team we look at. They took Mike Woods, a little bit of more depth for the wide receiver core. So looking at that, and really, you look at the Browns, I think David Bell is the guy we're more interested in as a rookie for sure. But the Browns continue to add some depth there for the receiving core. Makes a lot of sense as they're pretty weak in that position behind Amari Cooper. The Bears got a running back. It's Treston Ebner. He's a bit of a change of pace, but can do some other things as well here behind David Montgomery. But they also like Khalil Herbert. They moved on from Damien Williams. So pretty good 1-2 punch there in David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert. So Ebner, distant third there. She could also see some special teams work for Chicago. The Steelers took Connor Hayward. Now he's the brother there of their defensive lineman, Cameron Hayward, son of Ironhead Hayward, the late Craig Hayward there. So what do you think he is? He's a battering ram, fullback, running back type. So they had a little bit of depth to that position. Get another brother combination on the team, but not much to see there in fantasy football value. The Falcons found another way to tap into Georgia's offense. They took John Fitzpatrick. That's Fitzpatrick with a capital F and a capital P, not like Ryan here. He joins an offense without Matt Ryan and now with Marcus Mariota. So depth play as they lost Hayden Hurst there to the Bengals in free agency. So a little bit of developmental guy that they needed behind Kyle Pitts, their first-round pick from last year. Pitts still the man. Fitzpatrick's not going to cut too much into it, but gives a bit of relief there if needed to potentially down the line behind Pitts. And we mentioned the Bucs took another tight end, and he's the guy that we mentioned briefly before after they took Cade Otton to start things in the fourth round. To close things in the sixth round, they took Ko Kieft. So, yeah, the name is bizarre. Came out of Wisconsin. Developable pick for sure in Ko Kieft. But again, Otten Kieft pick tells you a little bit more that they might be done with Gronk as well as with O.J. Howard for sure, who's moved on free agency to the Bills. All right, we go from the NFC South to the NFC North as we close out our look at the seventh round. You have Nick Muse gets added to the mix here of Clemson as a tight end for the Vikings. So again, they need to replenish depth there, losing Tyler Conklin behind Irv Smith. So Nick Muse, a developmental guy that they're looking at for sure to put in the offense. So a bit of a hybrid player, but Muse, again, adding the depth. Now, the Seahawks went back-to-back with a couple wide receivers. Bo Melton there of Rutgers and Dariq Young of Lenoir Ryan. So going deep there on the rosters to look at some wide receiver prospects, get a little bit more depth here behind DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Dee Eskridge to really keep building that for Drew Lock. Take a chance on guys that can be big playmakers. So Dariq Young can see some work on special teams. Melton has some ability on the outside. So interesting, versatile receivers the Seahawks took late in this draft. The Steelers didn't take just one quarterback, jumping ahead of ourselves here. They did take Kenny Pickett, but they also took a guy out of San Diego or South Dakota State, and it's guy that we hadn't heard too much about, but a good athlete that we knew that played out there in the Big Sky country, Chris Olotokun there. So interesting pickup for the Steelers, maybe developing guy. They moved on from Josh Dobbs as well. This also an indication that they could dump Mason Rudolph out of this mix as well and just have Mitchell Trubisky as the veteran backup or the bridge contingency for Kenny Pickett and then develop Olotokun as the next guy. Good athlete, can do a lot of little things. So they're trying to add a lot of athleticism. Pickett, we know, ran well at the combine. Trubisky is a very mobile quarterback. So adding that element here to Matt Canada's offense, as well as the big arm. So I think that's why Lucan got a developmental pick late. So did Skylar Thompson out of Kansas State. He goes to Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa, this is not a threat to him by any means. So limited player. I mean, has a little bit of athleticism, a little bit of arm, not that much to look at. I really thought that, different players would go higher, including E.J. Perry there out of the Ivy League. And then you also had one guy like Jack Cohn playing and making some good plays for Notre Dame and Wisconsin. But they went with Skylar Thompson here, developmental back-end pick here. Why not the Dolphins looking at someone here in the seventh round where these are guys who are just toss-ups as good as the undrafted free agents at this point. The Raiders did add Brandon Bolden, same initials, Britton Brown. There's not much about him here that was known, so very reach pick here for the Raiders, but adding some depth, again, giving them some options as they definitely look clear to move beyond Jacobs and Drake in 2023 with Zamir White helping leading the way in that plan. The Chiefs took a little bit of help as well, Isaiah Pacheco. Now, I like this player and good offensive skill type to put in their mix here, but really buried here with their depth chart when you look at it with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Ronald Jones and everything they have at wide receiver, just not going to be a lot of use for him. And Pacheco will try to make the team. Good flyer there, as well as Justin Ross. I think he was a little bit more notable. The wide receiver they signed out of Clemson had some major injury woes and concerns that maybe scared off a lot of teams. But Justin Ross, a lot more appealing than Pacheco here as a late pick for the Chiefs. The Packers added their third wide receiver. So just like that draft where they had Valdes-Scantling and St. Brown and Moore, they had Samaan Toure to the mix, so developmental guy, again, really deep. Dubs or Dobbs is not going to have a big value there in Green Bay. Toure is going to be more of a developmental guy for sure this late in the draft. The Chargers took an interesting pick. Purdue's fullback bruiser. He's kind of the modern-day Mike Allstott out of the Boilermakers. Xander Horvath. So adding another option there, power back, looking at Isaiah Spiller, the previous pick, to take some pressure off, maybe in situations for Austin Ekeler that could cut into Eckler's tight end, or touchdown value, I should say, is Horvath, a little bit of a tight end fullback, running back hybrid that the Chargers took to place in their offense. Keep in mind, they've liked Derek Watt back in the day, so I think they see a little bit of Derek Watt in Xander Horvath. And then you look at the 49ers, Mr. Relevant, as if it wasn't enough to have Jimmy Garoppolo and hold on to him with the Trey Lance, they bring in a developmental quarterback. And this kind of summed up the 49ers draft. We talked about Ty Davis Price and Denny Grace, questionable head-scratching picks at running back and wide receiver. Really, I mean, Brock Purdy, I thought that maybe an E.J. Perry could fit a little bit in what they're doing. Cone, certainly a system-type quarterback there, but they go with Brock Purdy again. Kyle Shanahan, a little bit confidence, and sometimes it goes to arrogance with the kind of players you can put in their offense, but I think they could have gone a different direction here. But Purdy, you figure it's going to be a fight to make the team, especially if Garoppolo stays on the roster behind one Trey Lance. I think what is best, I think the idea with the 49ers is, can they develop another Nick Mullins type? And Purdy definitely can be one of those. All right, thanks so much for taking time to help you understand what fantasy football value is out there in rounds 4 through 7 and listening to our analysis here on Locked On Fantasy Football. So excited that we can finally take all these picks and put them in a blender and spit out some initial fantasy football rankings for you. We'll do that. We'll update it later, but we'll do that for you on the next show here to break that down. So we've broken down all the rounds of draft, all the key offensive skill players. Time to put it into perspective and what it means for fantasy football redraft leagues for 2022. So we'll do that for you on tomorrow's show. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Now make Locked On NFL your second listen. The schedule may be dark, but the NFL never stops. Neither does Locked On NFL. Get insights and opinions from hosts including Ross Jackson, Chris Carter, and Tony Wiggins, plus local Locked On NFL hosts repping all 32 squads. There's no offseason for real fans, so make sure you're subscribed to Locked On NFL on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, as well as Locked On Fantasy Football. We're on YouTube as well as wherever you get your podcasts, all platforms free and available to you. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. Have a great Thursday. May the 4th be with you today, and we'll see you tomorrow breaking down the rankings.